Welcome to the Real Facts on Real Estate podcast, presented by Sean Patrick Maloney. In this series, we educate real estate agents on how to find success in the industry and grow their wealth to six-figure commissions and beyond. Now here's your host, Sean Maloney.
Welcome to episode 110, Was Your Offer Accepted? I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney. Thanks for joining me this week. This week, I want to talk to you industry professionals about the courtesies of going over accepted or declined offers, what to do during the process, how to make sure you have good human relations, and how to make sure ultimately you get more offers accepted, but when they don't, they go correctly. Because remember, when we're working with our clients, we must always remember, to us, it's business, but to them, it's life. Always make sure to take the appropriate time and measures to kindly let your clients know if their offer was accepted or not. Far too often I see agents out there, they want to text the client, sorry your offer wasn't accepted type of situations. It depends on the situation. Obviously, middle of the night, you get the thing, you know they're waiting, you want to get that to them. But depending on what the agent texted you, a lot of times what I like to do is share the message that was sent to me. That way they get it directly the way it was said. But also letting them know when they didn't get that there is other homes and that, you know, I've been doing real estate for a very long time. I can tell you, my 13 years doing real estate, I've never seen somebody get a house that wasn't the one they wanted after being patient. So understanding that even though you didn't get this one, it's important to just help them understand it's okay. When we're working in a multiple offer situation, oftentimes before we even start with the getting your offer accepted, we're in the writing the offer stage. Depending on the marketplace, we have ups and downs. We have seller's markets, we have buyer's markets. In a buyer's market, it's not unheard of to get an offer denied and to go down an offer price, right? Maybe it's another week or two and we're down a little bit lower. They denied the first, will you deny the second and continue to let us erode you? During a seller's market, complete opposite. Sometimes you get denied and you got to come up. It's about knowing which direction the market's going and knowing what advice you should give. Because as an agent, there's very high risk to telling somebody a number when we're in a really excited marketplace like we are right now. And the idea of this is the number you need to put to get it. Because if you don't get the home, sometimes they actually judge that you told them the price and that you didn't get them the home because they went with everything that you said. This is a very risky scenario, so always make sure when talking with clients, you're using things like telling them this is the best advice based on the information we have, showing them charts and graphs, showing them comparative market analysis, looking across the marketplace and understanding what's going to go on. Because remember, as the market continues to climb and the was my offer accepted or not, not always is getting your offer accepted perfect case scenario. Say, for instance, you have the problem of an appraisal miss. Make sure we're explaining all these things up at the very beginning, because as we chase the market up, if your offer is accepted, are you able to perform? Now, this is a risk a lot of buyers are taking, dropping appraisal contingencies, dropping home inspections, dropping all these things. I would never advise anybody to do it unless it works for this scenario. But when they do it, they have to own those consequences. So if your offer was accepted, and you get there and there is an appraisal that misses and you said you're okay with that, having a total value you're okay with taking on is far more important than just saying that you're going to take it on. Because remember, whether or not you say you waive the appraisal or not, if you're using a mortgage, the mortgage company is going to do an appraisal. What can change? Well, if you were a 20% down buyer, the appraisal misses and now suddenly you're less than 20%, you're talking about private mortgage insurance. Are you prepared to take on that cost? Are you even physically capable of taking on that cost? Not just prepared mentally, but does your bank account reflect enough dollars and cents in order to make those payments and keep this house going? The truth is, if you get involved and it's not, and you made all these different things and you drop certain contingencies, your deposit could be at risk. So all the while you think you're being cute and creative and getting the house, but you may be putting yourself at a higher risk. Always consult with an attorney when dropping an appraisal contingency, when dropping an inspection contingency, when deciding to change something and go straight to purchase and sale agreement. But also remember, when setting all this up, if you're one of these high net worth individuals that's got lots of cash on the table and you're throwing things out, remember, when your offer is accepted, you still need to keep to the terms of the offer. So throwing out super fast, lightning fast dates and saying we'll close then could leave your deposit at risk again, because remember, extensions are granted, not a given, right? So they are requested to the seller and the seller says yes or no. Now, if you have no finance contingency, no inspection contingency, no mortgage contingency, no appraisal contingency, No pass, no radon, none of the contingencies, all cash closing these days. But what if they just bounce you out and keep your deposit because you didn't close in time? Remembering this as the seller or buyer's agent is very, very important. As the buyer's agent, it's very important in the way of I need to protect this person. I need to make sure the deadlines and dates work. And as a seller's agent, if I'm going to accept that offer, I want to make sure the person can keep on the timelines, because the last thing I want to do is do the dance with people and have it not come true and have everybody mad because your seller thinks that they're selling in a matter of a few days. The buyer thinks they're coming in. Then everyone doesn't agree. The whole thing becomes all disenfranchised. You end up keeping some deposits, and then there's people wanting to sue each other for deposits, and then you're in court over it. Just don't let it happen. Make sure you explain and discuss these things ahead of time. If you don't do this, you just risk having the problem that we just talked about, and a lot of times it's banging your head off a wall to do a lot of work to end up exactly there. So now let's talk about some other things. Calling the other agent off the hook to find out if your offer is accepted or not does not improve your odds at all. In this case, it may even erode their confidence in you as an agent. I see this often in multiple offer type marketplaces. When there's an offer deadline of 5 p.m. on Friday or 5 p.m. on Monday, they certainly don't know at 5:01 whether your offer was accepted or not. Also, putting a short date like 5:30 to answer back is going to short your offer and make it not valid during the time. When you're sitting in these situations, yes, it's okay to be a little pushy. It's okay to maybe raise your voice a little and get some excitement into your offer, but what's not good is to call a list agent 15 times over the weekend when there's an offer deadline just because you decided to short the offer deadline. They either reply or they don't. They're well aware of your offer. They're very busy booking other showings, dealing with the multiple offer situation they're in, and unless you're putting out an offer that's like literally all cash, no appraisals, no inspections, then calling them all the time, how's it going to change it? I mean, the cash, no inspection, no appraisals, you kind of wonder why they wouldn't accept it if it's an amazing offer already. But the rest of them, you know, they're just waiting. They're waiting to see what the whole playing field has, not just your one offer, but everyone else's. And if you're so excited that you want to pay them and you want to move out and you're going to put a short date on it, what does it tell them? Why does this person want to short the date? Well, the truth is they know the same exact answer you do, which is to get it for less money. So as a seller, why would I think it was best advised to come off early? Now, in certain marketplaces, of course, we have the challenge buyer's market. You don't accept my offer by this time, I move on. I could be looking at other things and gone. Seller's market, it's kind of not the same. They know you're waiting on them. When there's multiple new pieces of inventory, it certainly doesn't hurt to put in your offer letter that the reason we chose the deadline we did is we are actually making more than one offer currently and we are looking at other properties. So if you want us to be interested in yours, you might want to reply back soon. But that's taking a stance of leverage and taking a stance of we have a powerful offer and you should reach back out to us. It also comes with some risk because they say, well, this person isn't just dedicated to us. They're dedicated to the whole market. They're a little more risky than others. But lots of times using that leverage to tell somebody, hey, we are out there looking, especially if you're a really qualified, really good buyer and you made a great offer, we're out there looking and we're going to put in other things. But the thing is, you have to know in negotiations, you have to be firm. You can't just be like, oh, well, I was just kidding. And yeah, we're good to move forward now because I tried and you said no and I just turned and changed my thing. No, it's got to be like you give them the cold shoulder. You actually move forward. You actually move on. Too often when an offer gets denied, people want to shoot right back into another offer and they don't realize that to the seller in the seller's marketplace, when they deny our first offer and we immediately make a second offer, they just keep singing in their home brain, full price, full price, full price, or over asking, over asking, over asking. What they're not doing is this person who's consistently calling back and making more offers, maybe we should accept their low offer. They know that you're slowly but surely creeping up and they're going to sit and wait for you to creep up all the way. That's the risk you take when you seem too much in the need of their exact property. So keep in mind, when your client's offer is not accepted, be the voice of reason. It can be an educational part of the process that doesn't need to be painful. Let them know you care and that the right one will come. This is all part of the game, and when we do it correctly and we explain correctly the denial, it can help us. Because sometimes on some of the first offers, especially in a crazy marketplace where the prices are just rapidly expanding, not everybody can mentally wrap their brain around how you can have a virus, you can have a whole entire pandemic going, you can have market collapse in certain places, you can have all that going on, and housing prices consistently growing. So at first, some people need to, it's almost like a child touching a stove. They need to get burnt once to understand that the stove is hot. Same thing here. Some buyers need to get denied an offer on something they really liked to feel the pain of having low stove. Because one thing that's a little bit different right now, especially working as a buyer's agent, is we're a fiduciary, right? And our job is to get it for the best terms possible and the least money possible for them. But it doesn't say the lowest money. It says the lowest money possible. So the lowest money may actually be more than sale price, but it's the lowest money possible. So our job as a fiduciary is not only to guide when to offer less than asking, but also to guide when to offer more than asking. And the idea of if you really want to make what you're saying happen, then we're going to need to make offers that are realistic to the current marketplace. You don't want to go out there, beat clients up every single day. Oh my God, you see the market, we're losing left and right, we're losing offers. That's going to erode confidence. But when you talk with people, you need to be truthful with them of the state of the market. On your first meeting, you want to sit and talk with them and say, listen, you know, have you got your pre-approval together yet? If you haven't yet, we really want to have that because right now the market is on fire. If we see something, it is going to end up selling pretty quickly as long as it's correctly priced. Don't worry, we're going to do a comparative market analysis, check out the pricing on it. But we want to be ready to pounce and with our best foot forward, because in these multiple offer situations like we have right now, we're not often seeing a second round of bidding. It's put your best foot forward and we'll let you know by a certain time that night that we will have an answer for you. This is what it is right now, guys. When it comes to whether your offer is accepted or not, it's all about your delivery. It's all about how you let your clients know. Again, it's important to give good guidance, good numbers and everything, but always separate yourself from the idea of this is the number that's going to get the house and put it into what's your best foot, what makes you the most happy, what's a number that you'd be comfortable with spending, as well as here's what the market averages are, here's what the industry's doing, here's what makes sense, here's what we think will appraise, here's what we think won't appraise, but going over it in that fashion ahead of time can save us a lot of work. I hope this helps you work with more buyers and sellers during this crazy marketplace we're in with multiple offers. Remember, keep it ethical, keep it legal, and always, always, always make sure you put your client's interests first and not just the interests of yourself. It is very important in this marketplace to always remind ourselves, clients first, us second. I hope you guys all have a great week. If you haven't yet subscribed, please subscribe. Also, tell all the other agents you know and all the other real estate industry professionals to jump over. Check out our Facebook group, our blog, as well as our weekly newsletter. A lot of great free information. We also have the website, realfactsonrealestate.com, where you can find out even more free information about being an agent and a professional in the industry of real estate. Have a great afternoon, and I look forward to talking to you next week.